Christ is risen. Truly, he is risen. The glorious light of Easter has broken through the darkness of Good Friday. The crucified and now risen Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, has conquered sin, suffering, death, evil itself. The gates of heaven are now opened. So today, we celebrate a miracle. We aren't here to celebrate just an event that happened in history, like the 4th of July, or to celebrate and commemorate a famous person like George Washington. We're here to celebrate a miracle, the miracle of God intervening into this world to give us new life, to bring about a whole new creation. The words that our Lord spoke in the Gospel of John should ring true in our heart. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, not to condemn, but to give everlasting life to those who believe. And that's the key. Today, we're called to profess our belief, to truly say, I believe. It's time to roll the stone back. It's time to let God break through the darkness and really intervene in our own lives. Coincidentally, we had a beautiful movie released this week. The movie's called Breakthrough. It's based on a book called The Impossible, a true story. It's about a little boy who is 14 years old. His name's John Smith. That's rather easy to remember. And he was the adopted son of Joyce and Brian Smith. They lived in St. Charles, Missouri. So he was the adopted son. Like any kid, he enjoyed life. They were a faithful family. They worshiped at church. Then on January the 19th, 2015, he and a couple of his buddies were playing on the ice of Lake St. Louis. All of a sudden, they fell in. One boy was able to climb out, one boy was quickly rescued, and poor John sunk to the bottom of the lake. Eventually, he was found. He was taken to St. Joseph's Hospital. They tried CPR for 43 minutes, and finally the doctors said, there's no hope. Well, his mother prayed, and she prayed, Holy Spirit, please come and give me back my son. I can only imagine that that's the same kind of prayer our Blessed Mother prayed on Good Friday when our Lord had died. And I'm sure that our Blessed Mother heard the prayer of Joyce and somehow was interceding on behalf of little John. Well, after that prayer, all of a sudden, his heart started to beat. The doctors, though, said he's not going to have any neurological function because the brain had been deprived from oxygen for so long. So they prayed. The family prayed. The church prayed. The community prayed. 48 hours later, as they were prepared to harvest the organs for transplants, he awoke. He started speaking. Several weeks later, he walked out of that hospital fully recovered. Truly a miracle, without question. But the real miracle is how that impacted upon those people's lives. A living Savior had intervened once again. So yes, for many people, their faith was affirmed. For some people, the doubts were resolved. For some people who had no faith, they came to faith. For John, too, it was a breakthrough in his own life. John said on Fox News, I now own my faith. I was constantly fighting God and him, just saying, keep listening to me, just pay attention, just walk where I need you to walk. I finally started to realize that the earthly idols that I had been chasing are coming to an end, and it's time to be chasing toward the heavenly gold. So my brothers and sisters, here's a story of a miracle. But the real miracle is Easter. That's what we celebrate. The real miracle is God intervening in our lives through our Savior Jesus Christ. The real miracle is that by his passion, death, and resurrection, he has given us a new life that has begun in that miracle we call baptism. But we have to embrace this miracle. When we think about this story, Jesus wasn't some historical figure. He wasn't some last-minute, let's call upon him, get our answer figure. He was a living Savior. He was part of their lives. Jesus was part of their lives through their prayer, through their worship at church, and how they lived their lives as Christians. And I would say that if John had died, they wouldn't just abandon their faith. They would know somehow this was God's will, and there was that hope of everlasting life. The gates of heaven had been opened. They would know in their heart, as St. Paul said, for those who love God, everything works out for good. It would not be easy. They would mourn the loss of their son, but the faith sustained them, and they knew the living Savior was with them. So today, we're called to believe and to live life with a living Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to believe and leave this church today and go back to your tomb. Allow Christ to break through into your life in a brand new way. On that Easter Sunday morning, when they went to the tomb and Mary Magdalene and the others were there, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." When our risen Lord appeared to them later on, he said, "Do not be afraid." Don't be afraid to believe, because our risen Lord gives us everything. He gives us life. And with that, we find the fullness and the meaning of life. We could live in fear. Many people do. It's very easy to be frozen in like that lake of fear. So we could be frozen in a fear of the past. We all have our regrets, our sins, our disappointments, our failures. We all have things that we wish we had never done, but we did. Things that we wish we had done, but we failed to do. The devil would like to keep us frozen. He'd always like us to remember, that's who you are, that's what you did. But Christ conquered. Christ forgives. And isn't it important to remember, on that night of Easter, when he appeared to his apostles, he said to them, first thing, receive the Holy Spirit. What sins you forgive, they are forgiven. That's the sacrament of penance. How beautiful it was this Lent when so many people came to confession. Some had been even away many years. Some had many grievous sins. How beautiful it was, though, to see them absolved of their sins through that sacrament and rise to a new life. This is what Christ offers us. Jesus is truly the one who gives us that new life and that hope. Embrace that. But then we could also have a fear of the present. We live in a society where we could be just living in fear. It could be a fear of missing out on something. Some people are afraid they'll miss out of an experience or some kind of a sensation. And because of that, they can never make a commitment. They can never find direction in life. And some people have a fear of, what will society think? What do people think of me? Do I have more likes than dislikes on Facebook? What will the thought police of the media or the political parties think about me? Am I politically correct? Never forget, Lenin was the first one to use that term, political correctness, and he ruled through fear. But Christ says, have no fear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I make all things new. If we live with Jesus and we follow his way of life, live by his truth, and follow him to live life each day, we'll find freedom. We'll find peace of heart. We'll find real joy. And no matter what happens on the outside, all those external forces that would like us to live in fear, we can say, I'm free. Free on the inside because I live with the Lord. And then, too, we could have fear of the future. We live in a troubled world. Many of us know the experience from 9/11, when all of a sudden our country was attacked, the World Trade Centers fell, and then the Pentagon was attacked. It terrorized all of us, and we wonder what will happen next. Or even something like the burning of Notre Dame Cathedral. It shakes us because there it was. We were used to it. It's part of our life. We go by it, things like that. But now it's been hurt. Hopefully it'll be rebuilt. And then we think, too, of what might happen even in our own little church here. Right before Mass, a parishioner who's from Sri Lanka told me that this morning at Easter Sunday Mass, three churches were attacked by terrorists. 200 people were killed, many others injured. When will it happen? We could live in that kind of fear. But our Lord tells us not to fear. We could live in fear, too, of just daily life. Will I have enough? Will I get sick, have cancer? Will there be a time when I have to die? It's inevitable. When will a loved one die? That's inevitable too. But Christ said, have no fear. And he said, if the Father takes care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, he's going to take care of every need that you have. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he should die, will have everlasting life. So no need to fear. But the key is, we can either be frozen in that fear, past, present, future, or we can live in a new life with Christ to let him break through our lives. But we have to allow it. We have to roll the stone back. So my brothers and sisters, this is a real time of the first day of the rest of our lives to rise again, to live with our Lord who offers us everything. So in a few moments, we profess our faith. We renew those baptismal promises. We promise to reject Satan, sin, all evil, and to live in love with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit in the community of the church. It's not simply individually, it's about all of us as a church. And that's important because even here on this Easter, we could have a little fear about church. Where is the church going? What's happening in the church? Where is it headed? And so on. Never forget, Jesus founded this church. He gave his authority to the apostles. The risen Lord is with his church. And despite the schisms, persecutions, the heresies, the scandals, our own personal sins, Christ is with his church, and the church continues on. Just think of Notre Dame Cathedral again. It was built with faith. That's the importance of it. It's not just a museum. It's not a piece of architecture, a piece of nice artwork. It was a church built by people of faith. And if it's going to be built again, it should be by people of faith. The church will always survive because Christ is with his church. He's with us through the sacraments that we have. To think that we have the Holy Eucharist, that sharing in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. To think that we have his truth here in the Word of God, a living Word. When I gave all those little quotes from Scripture, that's not pious thought. That's the living Word of Jesus talking to us. That's how we live our life. We have this consistent teaching of our church that's been handed on by the apostles. We have the great witnesses of our church, just like the people on that first Easter, those saints. When I read the story about John Smith, we heard names like St. Charles, Lake St. Louis, St. Joseph's Hospital, all named for saints by people who lived their faith. The saints are around us, and the saints endured all the circumstances that we have, but they lived with faith. They knew Christ was with them. And my brothers and sisters, we have each other. How beautiful it is we have our church, our parish, to support each other. When we think about this parish, then we become the witnesses today of that Easter. Christ breaks through in this world now, through that darkness, to show his love in simple ways. For example, last Saturday, we had collected $10,000. 100 volunteers came to pack meals. So meals of rice and beans, things like that. And they packed 17,000 meals to give to Catholic Relief Services to be sent over to Burkina Faso in the West Africa. And so there's a sign of God's love. And next weekend, or the weekend after, we'll have our monthly food collection for Catholic Charities, and people will give almost 2,000 pounds of food for the poor. Simple ways, but it's the work of the Church. So my brothers and sisters, today's a time to roll back the stone, to allow Christ to break through into your lives in a new way, to live with Him as a living Lord and Savior each day through your prayer, your worship, how you live your life. For today is Easter. Christ is risen. This is the first day of the rest of your lives. Rejoice and be glad. Christ is risen. Amen. Alleluia.